Mike Greenlee, analyst for the Minnesota Wild, joins us. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Well, Mike, it's a great time of year for playoffs. Sadly, no one in Canada is having any rooted interest, I guess, other than maybe family members of Canadians who are playing for all the American teams. But the Wild, I guess, the big story to start this series is, unfortunately, the absence of Zach Parise. When do you expect him to return in this series?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, let's put it this way. We just got to Dallas, and he wasn't on our plane. And so you're not going to see him for the first couple. The earliest you would see him would be game three back in Minnesota. So, you know, and as you would expect, you know, they're not giving us the full medical report, as most teams won't, especially in the playoffs. So it's one of those things where, you know, he's I don't know if the word indefinitely was used or not, but it basically, he's not on the first two games, which means that next week would be the earliest you would have an opportunity to see him.
Mike, going in, I don't think it's unfair to say most people would have favored Dallas in this series, even without the injuries. You know, even if Parise and Vanek were available. How is that playing in the room? Is that you're hearing a lot about resolve and you can't worry about it, control the things you can control, because it's a tough break for a club that was going to have to play at its peak to win the series under the best circumstances.
Well, yeah, you know what, and right up front, and looking at the, you know, and looking at just some of the more the numbers that jump out at you more that people like to look at during the season, you know, how many goals do the team score, how many wins do they have, you know, all those naturally are very important. But the Wild played them pretty close. They played them pretty tough. The Dallas Wild games were actually, you know, fairly close. There was a 6-3 game, but there was two empty netters in that game, so it was actually a closer game throughout than there was a Wild 1-2-1 in one of them. And then the three others were overtimes where, you know, overtime and especially 3-on-3, you know, Wild didn't perform very well in that circumstance this year, but there's no 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs. So I think from a Wild's perspective, as they say, we played these guys pretty well 5-on-5. We played them pretty well when the game was tight and when it was close all the way through. And to me, that says that the Wild have an opportunity to out-defend them. There's no question about that. They have to have the puck a little bit as well, though. They can't just, you know, they can't just be up against the ropes taking punches and protecting all night long. But at the end of the day, I think they feel they have the opportunity, if they play a patient, tight checking type of game. You're not gonna play a track meet with Dallas and win. Everyone's seen that. So don't play that game. And if the Wild stay out of the penalty box, then there's an opportunity for Devan Dubnyk and the defensive core to hold off the Stars a little bit. But, you know, and everyone still looks at this as an uphill battle, no question. But it doesn't mean that you can, you know, it doesn't mean that you mail in your four games and away you go. I mean, this is the reason why the Wild have beaten the two division champions 2 years in a row now, Colorado, then St. Louis in the last couple of years, is because they don't look at the overall numbers. They just say, hey, let's go in there and let's play a patient game and play with structure and try and win some.
Mike Greenlee joins us, analyst for the Minnesota Wild. Mike, the one concern some people have with Dallas is that maybe they play too loose of a game, which is really kind of sad in a sense, because to me, you know, they're the highest scoring team 5-on-5 in the National Hockey League. And yes, I recognize they give up some, but to me, they're kind of a breath of fresh air in the NHL, where they're not afraid to trade chances. They're probably not built to be a lockdown defensive team, whereas the Wild seem to have guys like that. They've got guys in their bottom six who have playoff experience and cup winning experience. Do you think the Wild have, without Zach Parise, the patience to just kind of suck the life out of the offense of Dallas? Can they play a really patient game, do you think?
They're going to have to. I really believe they will. And, yeah, you know what? People want excitement. People want excitement of goals and chances and whatnot. But, you know, from a – you know, there's less of a desire to entertain, I think, for the Wild than there is to try and find a way to win. And you know, when you're looking at a team and you're trying to figure out how you're going to beat them, you got to find where they may be deficient and try and take advantage of that. You know, the interesting thing about the Dallas Stars, last year they didn't make the playoffs. They only scored 8 more goals this year than they did last year. The difference is that last year they had a 0 goal differential, which means they gave up as many as they scored. This year it's a plus 37. So they were able to find a way to score a few more goals, granted, only 8 more, but they scored a few more goals, but they're also able to defend a little bit better. I think some of that obviously has to do with the fact that they had a tandem this year that both won 25 games. So, you know, both guys got in there plenty and were able to spell each other off here and there. They still didn't have, like, glowing save percentages, both of them at 90% this year. But bottom line is, I think the Stars were able to shore up some areas. But I think where the Wild have to take advantage of them is by playing a structure 5-on-5 situation. And people are going to look and say, no Vanek, no Parisi, and Eric Halla won't be in tomorrow night either. And he's actually a big loss for the Wild just because he and Niederreiter and Pominville have played so well together under Torchetti. But they're expecting he could possibly be in for game 2. But the fact is that the Wild still have the same defensive core and they have the same goaltender, and they've done pretty well with that. So, you know, that's an area that they have to be good with, and then they have to be smart in the way they check. And if they can get the puck in the offensive zone, maybe the Wild can take advantage of a little bit of lack of experience back there for the Dallas Stars, because even Jamie Benn only has 6 playoff games in his career. So, I mean, the fact is that, you know, and I'm not saying that that's going to affect him, but there are other players on the team that don't have a ton of playoff experience with Dallas, and maybe you can take advantage of that a little bit.
Mike, you know as well as anybody how important goaltending is, and Devan Dubnyk has shown he's capable of being terrific for long stretches. I know I'm oversimplifying a little bit here, but to me, if Minnesota's going to win the series, Devan Dubnyk has to be the best player in the series. Is that far off in your mind when you get right down to it?
I don't think you're simplifying at all. I think that is smack on what has to happen here. There's no question at all that Devan Dubnyk has to be the difference, and he's going to be the difference one way or the other. Your goaltender has to be better than the goaltenders at the other end of the ice. But on top of that, given the numbers back and forth for these two teams, and given the fact that the Wild are missing a couple of key guys and whatnot, that's even amplified that much more. Devan Dubnyk's got to be clean, solid, move well, and not give up a lot of free change off of his body or off of his pads. I mean, it basically has to be pretty clean goaltending for Devan Dubnyk if the Wild's going to have a chance. That elevates the pressure, but, you know, we've seen him go on stretches where he's able to kind of read the game, and what I mean by that is when he's needed to be solid, we've seen him make 20 save periods, and then when for whatever reason the Wild push back the other way and he only sees 6 shots in a period, he's able to keep his mental focus then as well. So, and those things have happened all in one game before plenty of times. So I think his mental acuity is very good, and I think that that's good for playoff hockey. But yeah, you're right on there. I mean, at the end of the day, Devan Dubnyk's got to be not only the best player for the Wild, but just basically the best player in the series.
Ryan Suter going to play 35 minutes a night?
I hope not. But like I said, you know, the Wild's decor is healthy. So, you know, Spurgeon's there. He's a lot of these guys, and even a guy like Brodin, who you wouldn't, you know, right off the top of your head, if you ask somebody, how many playoff games do you think he has? Most people wouldn't say 28, but that's the truth. He does. You know, guys like Scandella have that many playoff games. I mean, Dumba has 10 playoff games under his belt, and of course Suter has a ton. But the point is that, you know, the Wild's defensive core is experienced. Even though they're young, they've all played together for years here, so they got a good working core there. You know, I don't think Suter has to. I mean, you know, if Suter has to, then that means there's something else wrong. And so, yeah, is he going to get elevated minutes just because it's a key time of the year? Absolutely. But, you know, you also have to be, I think that in order for the Wild to win in some of these games, they're going to have to play them tight all the way through and maybe even have to win a few in overtime or a couple in overtime, just because that's the patience part of the game that the Wild are going to have to play. If that's the case, then he'll see those numbers anyway without even trying in regulation.
Mike, one last one for me, and I know this is a difficult question maybe. Without Parise and Vanek up front, you mentioned Hall is not in as well. Is there a guy in that forward group, be it experience-wise or just a kind of guy who rises to challenges, who you best think will be able to pick up that slack?
From just a straight individual going out there and scoring perspective, I don't know if they want to have that mentality. I think Charlie Coyle, if you know, he hasn't put the puck on that in a while, but if he can get his game going like it was earlier this year, I mean, he was a factor. And Nino Niederreiter has shown that he can be a factor in key moments. You know, he scored some big goals in the playoffs for the Wild. The guy who really is an X factor, and it's been tough because he hasn't really been effective this year, is Jason Zucker. I mean, he's got that breakaway speed. He's got the kind of that nose to the net kind of shooter mentality, but he hasn't been able to put it together this year. Maybe the playoffs are going to be a different thing. Maybe he's going to be able to step up. I'm not saying that any one of these guys individually replaces what the Wild are looking for, but if they all have that mentality where they say, you know what, the playoffs are a different animal. Maybe if I can, step up and make a difference, then my game will be back, and then I'll be contributing somehow. So I think those three guys could certainly be a factor for the Wild offensively. And you know what, truthfully, they have to be.
One last one for you. You look at Dallas, and Tyler Seguin was skating. I think he's going to play. Him and Jamie Benn. And Jason Spezza really has quietly had an unreal season in Dallas. I'm assuming Benn and Suter are going to get a lot of the matchup. Who do you see them who's going to have the opportunity to try to shut down Spezza?
Like I said, the Wild have Brodin back there, who had played a lot with Suter anyway. So it's going to be, but I think there's going to be part of that too, that is about the forward lines. I mean, Mikko Koivu is going to see, plenty of as best they can keep, with the line change, the last change here in Dallas for the first couple games in Dallas's favor. You're trying to get Mikko Koivu out there. That's why Hala is such a big loss, because Hala was under Torchetti here, had been seeing a ton of the top players for the opposition with his line, and not only shutting them down, but scoring themselves. So, you might have to see some kind of a combination of different players put in that circumstance, maybe even moving a guy like Charlie Coyle back to the middle, because he's responsible two-way player. Then you might lose a little bit of his opportunity from a wing and scoring perspective. But, I think the first thing the Wild have to do is try and slow down, shut down some of the key players for Dallas, play a patient game, and maybe pick off a few opportunities here and there. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good bench, I think, for coaches. It's going to be a good bench game because, the cat and mouse game is really going to have to be played well by the Wild.
Mike, who are you picking in the series?
Oh, boy. Well, let's put it this way. The last couple of years, it's been a situation where I figured if the Wild were going to get past the first round, they'd have to have some big things happen, and they did. I mean, they battled seven games with Colorado, and then they found a way to beat St. Louis in six. I think if the Wild do win this series, it'll be in seven. It has to be. That's the kind of patience they're going to have to show. But if Dallas wins this series, let's put it this way, it'll be in five. Just because it'll just show that they're a dominant offensive team that, is just going to roll over, a lot of people here in the playoffs. If you take either one of them, I think that's how they're going to have to win.
Mike, we appreciate it. Enjoy the series. Starts tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.